A podcast? Did your radio show get canceled?
Fire, fire, fire. Low down and filthy, but the discipline is on point. Schooled myself, made my own dojo. A cold flow with a whole dose of soul. Maintain composure, even in fury. An anomaly, properties undiscernible to mere peasants. Use weapons that...
All right, this week on The Million Dollar Plan, we talk about the reality gap. Yeah, this is what I'm into right now. I'm into this concept of reality gap. I will explain to you what it means. There's a lot of applications of reality gap, by the way. There's like the political reality gap. There's probably your health reality gap. Today, we're talking about your financial health reality gap. We'll get there in a second. Interesting story from the road. Let's do a new segment called Stories from the Road. Peter on the Road, hashtag Peter on the Road. I was in Milwaukee this week, and my shuttle driver, free shuttle, y'all. My shuttle driver from the airport to my hotel was an elderly gentleman. To start talking to him, and he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Indianapolis," and he said, "Naptown," you know, as you're supposed to say. And he talks about watching basketball games back in the day in the Dust Bowl, which is, if you don't know, the Dust Bowl is an outdoor basketball arena, if you will, in the inner city of Indianapolis. Some of the greatest basketball ever to be played, street basketball, happened there. And he starts talking to me, and he's like, "You know, I got a nephew that played," and he says the nephew's name. Hey, everybody, guess what? This guy's nephew was on my basketball team. I reached into my pocket, grabbed my phone once he stopped the shuttle because I didn't want to interfere with his driving. I pulled out a picture of his nephew and I standing next to each other. How about that for a small world? Tales from the Road. All right, so here's what we're doing this week. Think of your financial life as it relates to stability and security and how you think you're doing in two different ways here. Number one, there's how you feel you're doing, just a feeling, self-evaluation. And you can base that on whatever you want. And I feel good because of my income, or I feel good because of the money I have saved for retirement. Whatever, don't really care. So there's that feeling. And then there's how you're actually doing, right? And because you evaluated yourself one way, that doesn't necessarily mean that's how you're doing, right? If you say, "Well, I feel like we're doing pretty good." Well, you need an objective measure to say whether you really are doing good or not. And the difference between how you think you're doing and you're really doing, that's the reality gap. So that's what we're talking about today. There are four potential outcomes, and in each segment of our show today, we are going to dive deep into that type of outcome. So close your eyes right now, unless you're driving or operating heavy machinery. Close your eyes, or don't close your, whatever. Here, imagine this. We're going to draw a cross, okay? It's like a scatter plot graph is really what we're drawing. And there'll be four boxes on that cross, right? Left, right on the top, and left, right on the bottom. The vertical line of the cross is going to be where you evaluate how you feel about your financial life, right? So if you feel good, you would move north of whatever the... I should know these statistical terms. Whatever the apex, is that what we're going with? Go north of that if you feel good about your financial life. If you feel bad, go south of the cross there at the bottom, okay? And you go down that vertical line. And then horizontally will be how you really are doing. To the left will be you're not doing well. And to the right will be you're doing well. Okay, so box number four, as I like to call it, that's when you feel like you're doing a good job financially by whatever measure you choose to evaluate that on. But it turns out you're actually doing a bad job by an objective measure, such as power percentage. I like power percentage in this environment, right? I think it's a good objective measure of how you're currently doing financially. So here's what happens, though. Here's the characteristics of a person who feels like they're doing a good job, but when it really gets down to it, they aren't. Think of it this way. I think I'm an amazing wedding dancer. Oh, that's right. At a wedding, I can dance. But here's the problem. According to my wife, and according to my two children, turns out I was a good wedding dancer circa 1998. Time has passed. I am no longer a good wedding dancer. Yet in my heart of hearts, which is just my heart. Is there a heart of hearts? I think there's just one heart. And in my heart, I feel like I'm a good dancer. But I'm not, okay? So let's describe the characteristics of a person that thinks they're good at something that is not. Here's some characteristics that come to mind. Denial. Am I in denial about my ability to dance at weddings? A little bit, because I think back to a time when everything was in control and I felt cool, and it was 1998, and my dance moves were current to the time. Now, I haven't gotten to old guy dance moves yet. You know, at some point you cross over to old guy dance moves. I'm not there yet. My dance moves are just a little arcane, okay? So I'm a little bit in denial. Another characteristic, ignorance. Am I ignorant to the fact that there are people who dance so much better than I do at weddings now, and our dancing looks very different? That's ignorance. Now, as we relate this back to finances, because this is not a dance show, but can you imagine a dance radio show? All right, let's do a dance radio show for a second, okay? If you're not watching on PeteThePlanner.tv, if you're listening on the podcast on the radio show, this is going to be a really fun moment. Okay, so this is Pete the Planner's dance radio. How was that? See, it doesn't even make sense. All right, so as it relates to money, if you feel like you're doing well because you're measuring yourself with a wrong metric, then that is a level of ignorance, which then crosses over into the third characteristic I want to cover, which is delusion, right? And this one gets a little scary. If you think you're doing well due to delusion, or you think you're a good dancer and you're suffering from delusion, that's a big problem. Right. So as we go through these different boxes today, we're going to hit four. Right. We're going to hit people who think they're doing a good job who are not, people who think they're doing a bad job and they are doing a bad job, people who think they're doing a bad job but are doing a good job, and people who are doing a good job and think they're doing a good job. Those are the four boxes. And this first one here, look at the characteristics: denial, ignorance, and delusion. That's people who think they're doing well that are not. These are people lying to themselves. These are people hiding tough truths from themselves. This is also the same reason I don't frequent a bathroom scale, because I really don't want to know. I wonder, from a fitness perspective, this is happening in the moment as we broadcast here. I'm trying to think where I am on this scatter plot when it comes to how I feel about my fitness and how my fitness is. You know what? I'm going to have to go with the thing we're talking about in the next segment, is box three, where I'm actually, my health is not exactly where I want it to be, and it's not where it should be, right? Right? So I'm terrified by box four for people in their financial lives, because what you have is you get this level of complacency, right? You think you're doing fine, but you really aren't. And it comes in a lot of forms. Even people that say, well, I hit the match of my 401k, so we're doing fine. And see, I can't figure out if that's denial, ignorance, or delusion. I'm going to go with a little bit of ignorance there. Generally speaking, hitting your match when you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s doesn't matter. I mean, it's not going to lead to a good outcome. If you're basing your financial health on it's going well by that you're hitting the match and you don't have any debt, you're either ignorant or you're in denial, because you're not doing well. That's why I like the power percentage metric. If you want to read more about that, because we're not going to go deep into power percentage today, go to PeteThePlanner.com/power percentage, and you have to put a hyphen between power and percentage. I don't know. I could probably get both. You know, we probably will. Nicole, make a note. We need to go PeteThePlanner.com/power-percentage and PeteThePlanner.com/power percentage, all one word. We'll make a note of that. Is that good for you?
Yeah, we can do that.
Excellent. Nicole, she's the best. All right. So coming up after the break, here's what we're going to do. We're going to explore the next box of the reality gap matrix. It is people who think they're doing poorly and are doing poorly. What are those characteristics? The reason we're exploring all of this today is a couple of reasons. Number one, I just want you to be realistic with yourself. Number two, it says a lot about a person if you can define how they feel versus what they're doing with their money. It can say a lot about them professionally, which no one really wants to hear that, by the way. When I work with HR and wellness departments from companies across the country, and we talk about, okay, this group of people thinks they're doing well, but they're not. What are their characteristics? Well, they're in denial. They suffer from ignorance and delusion. Are those people you want to work with? I mean, think about this. It's not like, you've got your financial life, then you go to work and you check your worries and stress and reality at the door. You don't do that. You are who you are. If within your financial life you suffer from denial, ignorance, and delusion, what do you think you're going to suffer from in work and relationships and your spiritual life and your nutrition? All these other things, right? For a long time, I was under the delusion that I was healthier than I am now. I've come to the realization that I'm not as healthy as I once thought I was, right? Now, I don't have anything that I know of internally. I'm a chunky Midwesterner, right? I'm working on it, though. I walked to work this morning, so I'm feeling pretty good. Wearing shorts, though, but you can't see because I have a desk. All right, coming up after the break, or it's radio. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about box three, people who are doing poorly and know it. That's next on the Million Dollar Plan. I'm Pete the Planner.
Stop what you're doing. And hit Pete up on Twitter at Pete the Planner.
Never question the right of any man. The voice, his opinion is strong against any can. But then again, many men are citizens of their own little world, so they ain't really fitting in. I'm in the background blending in, camouflaged by the scenery, but I'm a champion. Revamp the camp again, put down the stamp again, talk to my fans again, renew my brand again.
All right, back here on the allergy version of the Million Dollar Plan. Man, that Cottonwood. I don't know where you live in the country. If you're listening on radio, you live within the radius of the tower. But there's cottonwood where I live just flying through the air like you're in a cotton candy factory, except it's not delicious candy. It's choke yourself cotton candy. And that is the cottonwood that is in my life right now. Too much information. All right. This week, we're dealing with Reality Gap. Reality Gap Radio. It's better than dance radio. If you missed the first segment of the show, we did Pete the Planner's Dance Radio. Which turns out a dance show on radio doesn't work real well. We're dealing with this idea of how are you doing financially based on your self-evaluation versus how are you really doing financially with an objective evaluation. We like to use power percentage. If you want to calculate your power percentage, go to petheplanner.com/power percentage and you can calculate it and figure out. It is a measure of how efficient you are with your income. And then in terms of self-evaluating, just do this. Here, we'll do a little role play. A little role play for you. First, I'm actor A, and then I'm also actor B. I'm playing both roles. This is like, Meet the Clumps or whatever. I'm playing all the roles. I like the Tracy Ullman show. Here we go. Actor one, how you doing financially? Oh, I feel pretty good. That's okay. End scene. That's how you self-evaluate financially. It's that easy, right? Your choice is just, or your struggle is just not to lie to yourself, right? How am I doing? I'm doing good. Okay, you just said you're doing good. Now let's really see. Okay, so we're going through this grid. Last segment, we dealt with the idea of are you doing poorly? Or do you think you're doing well, but you're really doing poorly? This segment, we're talking about feeling like you're doing poorly. And guess what? You're right. You are. So think about this. This is where I'm health-wise. So we're gonna try to unravel this from my own health issues here. Again, I don't have health issues as much as fitness issues, right? The like fitness pizza in my mouth, right? Sorry. Defeated, despondent, and resigned are the characteristics that describe people who know they're doing poorly, right? Who are doing poorly and know they're doing poorly. Defeated, despondent, resigned. Now, when you measure your financial life with the wrong metrics, savings, debt, income, credit score, which is the worst, if you measure your financial health on those metrics and you say they're bad and I know it, there's frankly not a lot you can do to fix your financial life, right? Think about this. Let's say to you, a healthy financial life is someone that makes X amount of dollars and you make X minus X, whatever, X minus Y, I guess. You make less. And I say, well, how's it going? You say it's bad. And I say, how can you fix it? You're like, I can't make more money. It's a pointless situation. It's a silly way to measure it. Or let's say you wish you had $2,000 to your name, and you don't. And I say, well, how do you fix it? You say, I can't. I've also got so much debt, I'll never be able to fix it. That's where this defeated, despondent, resigned things comes into play. If you're struggling financially, and you know it, change metrics, man. focus on power percentage. Power percentage says how much of your income is going to move you forward on a monthly basis. Like if you've got $38,000 in credit card debt and you just think about it all the time and you can't sleep and your relationships and your work suffers from it, I understand. That's awful. It's an awful feeling. But you can't just say, well, we're messed up. We're screwed. Nothing's going to change it. You can't do that. Right? You can. Oh, by the way, you can. People do it all the time. It's just no way to live. Who wants to do that? Well, looks like we're in trouble. So let's go back to my health for a second. I'm overweight. By any standard, really. People will watch this or hear this, and they've seen pictures of me. They're seeing me on TV, and they'll say, oh, you're not overweight. No, I am. That's the issue. Is at some point in time, let's say I was in this shape 35 years ago. Right? Let's say I existed as a 39-year-old man 35 years ago as opposed to a 4-year-old child, and I looked like this. I would be overweight. And the standards of what is acceptable is the only thing that has changed. So people look at me like, well, you don't look too bad. You're fine. No, I'm not. The same as can be said with our financial lives. I only have $7,000 in credit card debt. 35 years ago, that's awful. And it's still awful, right? That's the thing. It's just because the acceptance or tolerance for silliness has changed doesn't mean the reality has changed. So I got some choices with my health, and you've got some choices with your money. If we know we're doing poorly, and we are doing poorly, what are our choices? We can just be defeated. We can be despondent. Or we can behave differently, right? We're not accepting our fate because this is not our fate. I don't wear a Fitbit just so you think I care about my health. I wear a Fitbit to track my behavior. Sure, sometimes I don't even charge it, so technically it's just a bracelet, right? But why did I walk to work this morning? It was a conscious decision. Why did I not grab a beer at the Detroit airport when I had barely enough time to grab a beer between flights last night after an incredibly long day? Number one, that seems like a really desperate alcoholic thing to do. But number two, I could have. I was at the Delta Sky Club, free beer, just grab it. I could have, but I didn't because I'm trying to make better decisions. I'm trying to behave better. And if you're struggling financially, hang on to your behavior. Like, that's all you got. If you're tens of thousands of dollars in debt, all you have is your behavior and your ability to change it from a month-to-month basis. You can't change your current reality of being tens of thousands of dollars in debt. But when you hear the commercials on the radio and TV, like, do you have $35,000 of that? Call us. Don't do that. Don't call them. And I'm not competing against them. I don't care about them. I don't have nothing to sell you. I'm just saying it's your behavior that was going to get you out of that jam. You know someone who's lost, I don't know, 60, 80, 100 pounds. Like, we all know someone who's changed their life completely. I got a friend named Melanie. I don't know how much she's lost. Probably 60-something. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't want to guess how much weight women have lost, right? But she's lost a tremendous amount of weight. Change her life. Change her life. She didn't do it in a month. She didn't do it in 2 months. Didn't do it in 3 months. But every day, she made a good decision. Every day, her behavior changed. That's all we're asking. Every day of my job, I have the great privilege of receiving emails from people that usually say things like, you're an idiot. But sometimes, I get ones that say, you know, I just wanted to share with you, my financial life changed forever. We did that. We did this. We did that. You know what? I have one in my email box right now. I'll see if I can pull it up. I received this one mid-air yesterday from Milwaukee to Detroit, and I started to try to read it, and let's see if we can pull it up. A guy named, that's definitely not it. That was not it. All right, so let's see if we can find it here. This is always good radio. Guys searching email on road. It makes for good radio. Oh, man, that's definitely not it either. Okay, so we're not going to do this. Here's the point. Guy listened to the show a while ago. He just said to start tackling his debt. And at first, it stinks. Of course, it stinks. It's like you start exercising for the first time. You're like, well, I'm 60 pounds overweight. I tried to walk a mile, and I can't move for 2 days. Yeah, what do you think's going to happen? You think you're Usain Bolt the first day you go for a jog? Your financial life, in order to make it better, will have to get worse. Why? Well, in order to create margin, not margarine, we're not back to fitness. In order to create margin, we need to make sure that we reduce spending. And when you reduce spending, stress goes up. I know, because spending money actually relieves stress. This is all a conspiracy from above. To relieve stress, all you have to do is spend money. Isn't that crazy? It's like drug. To feel better, take this pill. To feel better, you can spend money. Dopamine, dope, is released when you spend money, and it de-stresses you. It's euphoric. It makes you feel better. And that is the nasty reality of what it is to struggle financially. Because when you know you're doing poorly, and you are doing poorly, you can do silly things to feel better, like make it worse. You can spend more. But to fix it, you actually have to make your situation harder. You have to dive deeper into trouble stress-wise, because you have to spend less, you have to quit spending money to get pleasure, and you have to start saving and making better decisions for satisfaction. And when you do that and your behavior starts to improve, two things happen. Number one, your life starts to get objectively better, and you start to feel better once you hit that, once you get over that initial roadblock of feeling worse. That's the challenge. So let's go through these characteristics, and you tell me, is this a person you would want to be your coworker? Someone who's defeated, despondent, and resigned. Is that someone who you want to work with? Is that someone you want to be in a foxhole with? Someone that you want to depend on in the workplace? Is that what you want your spouse to be? Is this what you want your children to be? Are these characteristics that you want in a person? No. And we're not saying to heck with these people. How about that for a Midwestern profanity change? We're not saying to heck with these people. What we're saying is, if people remain there, if people know they're doing poorly and they do nothing about it, you don't want anything to do with them. That's not to say you don't try to help. It's not to say that they aren't good people. It's to say no one wants to be around someone who's defeated, despondent, and resigned. You just don't. That's the point of this segment, is not only to help you personally through this, but get you to understand that as we depend on people in our lives and professionally and personally, you don't want this. Right? That's why we want people to make better decisions. Do you think my wife, and you don't know my wife, do you think she wants me from a health perspective? This woman is a marathoner who places high in marathons, okay? Do you think she wants her doughy husband to be doughy? Do you think she wants me to be defeated, despondent, and resigned to doughiness? No. That's why on Memorial Day, she said something to me to the effect of, hey, I made time in case you wanted to work out today. Yeah, sure. That's very passive aggressive. She's a terrible person. No, she's a great person. She's trying to hold me accountable to that. Right? So if you've got someone in your life that's doing poorly and they know it, make sure they're not defeated, despondent, and resigned. And if it's you, let's go. Let's just start changing behavior. All right, next segment of the show after the break, we're going to talk about box number two. People who are feeling terrible about their financial life, but shouldn't. That's next on the Million Dollar Plan. I'm Pete the Planner.
Yeah. Axe hand on the beat. Yes, sir. Glass house. Yes, sir. Mr. Kinetic, Rusty Redenbacher. ATFU. Naptown.
Cashing in like the end of the game at the casino. I lean so the glare of the rearview don't hit me. Swiftly through the avenues and boulevards, old soul playing on my speakers, old soul, but young in age, a boss player. Not from the Himalayas, but my fam gave me Gary Indiana game. Grew up around the country, but the mindset was there, ain't. I won't complain about a damn thing on this beat.
All right, back on the Million Dollar Plan. I am Pete the Planner, drinking some coffee here this morning, trying to wake up. My voice is both tired and allergy ridden, and you don't care. Hey, if you're watching on PeteThePlanner.tv, you see a new piece to the collection here. I'm going to grab it from the shelf. You should watch on PeteThePlanner.tv. It's a beer bottle. I look like I just have empty beer bottles on my shelf, but it's my good friends at Central State Brewing who also own the Coal Ship over at 25th and Delaware. It's a craft beer bar. They released a tribute beer to me. It's called Frugal Ginger. It's delicious. It's a bourbon barrel aged farmhouse red ale. They aged it for 12 months and then finish it with ginger. So Frugal Ginger. I don't know if they have any left. It was a limited release. So maybe check that out at the Coal Ship. Anything you can get at some Crown Liquor stores too. Is that a commercial? Anyway, reality gap. That's what we're talking about today. How you feel about your financial life versus how your financial life really is. The first couple segments, here's what we did. We dealt with people who feel like they're doing great, who are not. We dealt with people who feel like they're doing poorly, and they are doing poorly. And now we're dealing with what we call box two around these parts. And that, it, by the way, I got to interrupt myself. In Milwaukee the other day, I was doing this workshop, and this guy said, you know, where I'm from, we do this with our credit card every month. And I was like, what a weird way to say, like, where he's from. Like, is there a group of people geographically that do something one particular way? He was trying to just like deflect the idea that that's what he does. So he said basically everyone in his town does it that way, but I just never heard anything like that. And now I'm off track, but you've listened to the show before, so you know to expect it. Box two, these are people who are feeling like they're doing not well, but they are. Okay, so there's two reasons this happens. Number one, financial stress stinks, but it doesn't mean you're doing things wrong, right? At the beginning of change, stress is present. So we're kind of working in parallels today. We're talking about your financial life, and we're talking about my fitness level, right? In order for me to get more physically fit, in order for me to drop a few LBs, the stress is going to have to pick up, right? I'm going to have to wake up earlier to make time to work out. I'm going to have to say no to foods I like to eat and no to drinks I like to drink. And that in itself, although it's not the end of the world, it's stressful. In order for you to change financially, you're going to have to say no to purchases you want to make and no to experiences you want to experience. That is stressful. That's why you haven't done it, because if you're stressed now because things aren't going the way you want, do you really want to get more stressed? No, that's why you didn't change. But the issue is this: when that change is occurring and things are still bad, but you're behaving correctly, you're on the path. Now, you're not perfect, but you're on the path. Your behavior is consistent, financially, physically, whatever we're even talking about here. You're doing it right, but you're still feeling bad. It's still hard. It crosses over at some point, the feeling good, and your behavior is also good, so you're good. But at the beginning, no, you still feel bad despite the fact that your behavior is good and you're objectively doing good. That happens all the time. I may have mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I was in Phoenix talking to a lady about a month ago, I guess, and her power percentage was north of 40%. Which you can get your power percentage at petetheplanner.com/power percentage. Her power percentage was north of 40%, which is phenomenal. It's really good. Anything north of 35% is great. She was north of 40%. She said she's just been beside herself, stressed, freaking out. She's got a lot of law school debt, right? She's an attorney. She has a law degree. I don't know what she is. She's a law degree. So she's got all this debt. She's trying to pay it off aggressively. And it's upsetting her, right? Sometimes you don't think, I go to grad school and then I'm going to be saddled with all this debt and, you know, who knows what your income's doing. But a great deal of her household income is going to pay off this debt, and it's really stressful, right? And she's like, I'm on the verge of giving up. She ran her power percentage. It was phenomenal. It's a perfect example of someone who is doing good but feels awful. Now, once you match up that you're actually doing good, once she found out that she's really doing the right thing objectively with an objective measure like power percentage, her attitude changed completely. Because for people that are doing well that don't feel like they're doing well, listen to these characteristics: anxious, nervous, lacks confidence. You know what I'm talking about. Might be you, might be someone you know. Like, is that what you want? To be doing well, but to be nervous the whole time? Now, there are nervous Nellies. Like, there just are. There are people that no matter how good they're doing, they're nervous. We all know those people too. And I'm not necessarily talking about those people right now, although they do apply to this box of the reality gap, right? There are people who are doing fine, but are just always going to be nervous about it, always doubting themselves. Perfectionists. Here's the funny thing about perfectionists. One of my favorite things is hearing someone who is clearly not a perfectionist claim to be perfectionist. Oh, I'm just a perfectionist. Really? You're a perfectionist? No, you're not. It's like when people are like, I'm type A. No, you're not. You get up at 10 a.m. You're not type A, right? So primarily in this box, though, we deal with people who are on a comeback, right? They're on the comeback trail to financial stability or maybe getting there for the first time. And the journey is stressful. At some point, it passes over into gratifying, and that's great. And then you end up feeling confident and your stuff is together. But so anxious, nervous, and lacks confidence. Those are people that are doing well, but they don't feel like they're doing well. In the final box, and we're going to do that this segment, the group one, people who feel like they're doing well, and guess what? They are, by an objective measure, and that objective measure, again, being power percentage. Listen to these characteristics. Confident. Calm. Namaste. Calculated. Not in the negative sense. Confident, calm, and calculated. Okay, so let's go through the 12 characteristics that we've just dealt with on the show today. If you are feeling good about your life, but it financially, but you shouldn't because it's terrible, you're in denial. You suffer from ignorance and delusion. That's fun. How about if you're actually doing poorly and you feel like you're doing poorly? Defeated, despondent, resigned. How about if you feel like you're doing poorly, but you're doing well? You actually are doing well by an objective measure. Anxious, nervousness, lacks confidence. And then finally, if we can get you there with behavior, behavior is how we do it. Don't think, well, I don't have $50,000 in savings, so I can't be considered to be good financially. Wrong, pal or palette. What's the Nicole, do you happen to know the female equivalent of pal? Is it gal?
I would go with gal. I kind of like palette, though. That's fun.
But a palette's like what you ship things on.
Yeah, I guess we could go with gal. I mean, that's kind of the equivalent of a pal.
It rhymes. It does rhyme.
Yeah, there we go. That's what it
is. All right, thank you. So, listen, gal. But that seems kind of, come back. It seems condescending for me to call someone a gal like that, no?
I don't know. I kind of like gal. I mean, if you're friends or if you're just having a conversation with someone, I feel like gal can go either way, you know?
Sure. All right, well, good enough. All right, pal or gal, listen. We want you to be confident. We want you to be calm. We want you to be calculated. That's the whole point of this exercise. Whether we're talking about your money, whether we're talking about your fitness. In 2007, I was in about the same shape I am now. I really was. Believe it or not, I played a little bit of college football. I did. But then when I got out, I got out of shape, right? And then I became confident and calm and calculated after feeling anxious, nervous, and lacked confidence over a six-month period as I regained my fitness, lost over 40 pounds. It's probably time to do that again. I talk about this primarily because I just need the accountability. And if I'm going to talk to you about trying to turn your financial life around, it's kind of hard to do while I have a sandwich hanging out of my mouth. I saw a quote the other day. It said, it was like Thoreau or someone like that. Who was it? No one cares. Said something to the effect of, you are what you think about all day long. And I'm like, I'm a sandwich. I'm a sandwich. You are what you think about all day long? I'm a sandwich. I'm a Cuban. I'm a Reuben. Any of the Ubens? That's what I am. I love sandwiches. A hamburger's a sandwich, but you don't, you know, then you start sounding like you're on Goodwill Hunting. You call something a burger sandwich. And a hot dog definitely is not a sandwich. Now I'm thinking about sandwiches. I'm a sandwich. All right, coming up after the break. Oh, if you want to learn more about this, my USA Today column actually is about this week. You can also find it in Indy Star and any other Gannett papers. The reality gap, I can't coin the phrase. I think I stole it, actually. So check it out. Go to PeteThePlanner.com or just Google stuff. Don't Google stuff. Boam is next. I'm Pete the Planner. This is Million Dollar Plan.
Every day living through the peace of my soul, I remain whole even in the middle of the pain. Even though my life has the rain, I still remain sane, writing and creating for my life, man. My pen is my sword given by the Lord, and I use it to fight the tides of restriction. Sometimes I'm conflicted, find myself looking at the trees too much and can't see the forest. Enemies shall inherit the earth, and I want to inherit something, something other than the high blood pressure and diabetes. So work is what I gotta do. Stay true to my enemy and water the trees that I sing from, and look out for the lumberjacks running with the gale force wind at my back. Swift and enduring, I remain calm. Swift and enduring, I remain calm. Swift and enduring, I remain calm.
All right, wrapping up this week's Million Dollar Plan, Pete the Planner. Instead of Boom this week, I'm going to do Boat, Biggest Waste of Text. Okay, I have a story. I wish I could really tell you the details. You're probably going to be able to figure it out. I have a friend who texted one of his friends who's an IndyCar driver. And the IndyCar driver had an interesting day at the Indy 500. And my friend who's a chef sent the guy, the race car driver, a text. And the idea of the text was, you know, people have always said that chefs are pretty dangerous, but race car drivers are dangerous too. Like, he sent this text to a race car driver after the Indy 500. You know, people say, and he was serious, people say chefs are dangerous, but Indy car drivers are dangerous too, because he knows the guy, we all know the guy. But that's crazy, right? So we've been mocking my friend nonstop since that text was sent, because that's honestly the biggest waste of text of the week. For a chef to send a race car driver at Texas says, people say chefs are dangerous. And there was no hint of irony or joke or sarcasm or anything. People say chefs are dangerous. It turns out race car drivers are dangerous too. What are you doing? That's my show this week. If you want to learn more, go to PeteThePlanner.com. You can probably guess the story I just told if you know me on any level, and it is hilarious. I can't stop laughing about it. That's it. That's all I got. I'm Pete the Planner. I'm reminding you, as always, I'm sending you good vibes, because good vibes are all that's in the budget. This is the Million Dollar Plan.
If you want to be on this podcast and have Pete fix your money life, then hit us up at PeteThePlanner.com/podcast. You heard me. PeteThePlanner.com/podcast.
Log on.
This is for information purposes only. It's not the Swiss financial planning device. Consult a financial advisor.
Released from Everest, the fresh is fresh, and you can call me ET, word to John Tesh. Let me bless this harmonic presentation. It's amazing, so amazing. I'm the reason. Salutations, I bring you love, Tron greetings from a far away land. I am the sole controller. Put the remote down and let me take control. You're now a part of my zone, so enjoy yourself. Love, Tron can restore your health. I bring you greetings. Salutations, how you doing? And is that how y'all say it? The tinkling of the keys is an homage to the little star. I sojourn over poetic descriptions of sound to travel to my other world. Out of this world, spaceship on my arm took me home, filled by the ink and the megabytes and the hypertext transfer protocol, stronger than the Skynet and the Terminator. I push faders into warp speed, glide with ease, creating a breeze they call a black hole. Event horizon, no rear view concerns. This I adjourn, and beats I burn. This I adjourn, and beats I burn. Salutations, I bring you love, Tron greetings from a far away land. I am the sole controller. Put the remote down and let me take control. You're now a part of my zone, so enjoy yourself. Love, Tron can restore your health. I bring you greetings. Salutations, how you doing? And is that how y'all say it?